Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome to another episode of eLaborate Topics. We are your co-hosts, Tywana Wilson, Stephanie Whitehead, and Lona Small. We're here for another awesome roundtable. And guess what? We're talking about a topic that we get asked quite often. You know what it is? People ask us how to identify early in their career, what should they become or what can they become with a career in laboratory medicine? And so today we're going to be giving you a few tips and tricks and things that we have learned along the way of being able to identify early in your career what you may want to become. We're going to give you those simple steps that you can use to determine success for yourself. And so let's jump right into this roundtable. It's one that I personally am passionate about because I love talking about your career roadmap. We're going to talk about how you can assess your skills, your interests, your values, how those even play a part into your career decisions. But before we get in too deep, make sure you share this broadcast out with your team or with anybody who could utilize this message, even if they are a friend of the lab and not directly into the laboratory. So let's jump into the foundation of your career roadmap. I like calling it a roadmap. Basically, it's your plan, your guide, or your blueprint to help you establish your success. And when you think about your plan, you have to have a timeliness piece to it. So whether that's 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, it's going to be your foundation of where you want to go in your career. When you are thinking about your roadmap, think about the education that might be required for the career in which you are desiring. So think about if you need an advanced level degree, an additional certification, think about what you may need to be successful in that role. Think about for your next step, if that's going to be a technical role versus a people role. And Lona will talk a little bit more about doing your research into what might be a great fit. But think technical or people. So do you want to be a manager or a supervisor of frontline team members? Or do you want to be a project manager, which we've covered project management in a recent podcast? Or do you want to be a discipline leader, like a lead tech? All of those factors will play a part into what success might look like for you. So think people versus technical, right? And then think about your education that might be required for those particular roles. Also consider the skills that might be needed to perform in that particular role. And think about, do you have the particular skills that's needed? Do you currently have those skills? So do a skills inventory. That could be critical thinking skills. That could be your communication skills. Or are these areas in which you would need to enhance or increase those areas of getting those skills? Think about your experience and the experience that's necessary to be successful in that particular career. Do you currently have the opportunity to be able to get the experience in your current role at your current employer? Or do you have to go outside of your employer to get the experience that might be helpful for the career path that you choose? While you're doing that, think about your network. So your network is your net worth. So thinking about your people that you have in your network, in your circle, are these people that can help you to navigate your career or go to the next career level? So those are some of the foundations that you should consider while thinking about your career, because success is going to look different for every single person. Success may look different for somebody who aspires to be a technical specialist, right? Because those skills are highly technical. It will look different from a person that wants to be over people, say a laboratory director or a manager. Different skills will be needed, different interests will be needed, and different passions. I once heard a quote that find somebody who will pay you for what you truly enjoy. So think about what you are truly passionate about, your interests, and start there, especially if you're thinking, you know, I don't know exactly what I want to do, but I know that I want a next step after being on the bench as a medical laboratory scientist or technician. So think about, what are you really good at? Are you really good at training people? Are you good at managing projects? So start there with your interest and build upon your interests and your passions and get so good at it, actually great at it, and then find an employer that will pay you for that. And the last thing that I'll kind of leave you with as you are thinking about your career roadmap, your blueprint, your professional plan, is to know your values, right? And your values, you'll never find it on a job description. And without understanding your personal values, it can be difficult to make a decision about your career. If you identify your values early, those things that are important to you, it will become easier to align your career path with those. So think about an iceberg, and your values will lie under the surface. Those are those unseen things that are important to you, but they're not your skills. They're not your characteristics. So think if individuality is important to you in regards to your role or your employer, right? So when you're thinking about roles, if it's important for people to be able to have individuality, be able to express themselves, you're going to want to consider that in the environment in which you might work in. Think about if equality or justice or fairness is important to you and are deal breakers for you. Those are considerations that you have to make with the kind of career you choose and the kind of employer you choose. So I always like to tell people to don't forget about the values, because that's something that's unseen, but it's at the core of who you are. And it becomes very important when you decide on the career. So when you think about your career and you think about asking those questions, if you ask a question such as, you know, what does success look like? You need to have an additional level of clarity, because success is going to be very different depending on the person and what's important to you. So those would be kind of a starting point that I would say of developing your career foundation, your career roadmap, identifying those passions and interests, identifying and knowing your values, having a timepiece to your blueprint, determining what education, skills, experience, and people that you need along your journey. But the first step, I would say, for a medical laboratory scientist or technician or phlebotomist would be to determine, do you want to excel on the technical side or the people side, and then explore careers in those particular spaces? What do you all think?
I completely agree. I think when you talk about looking at your options, and I'll talk about that later when we get to my portion of the roundtable, but it's important for you to investigate what you're doing now and what you like about it and what you don't like about it. So as you look at what you want to do in the future, you take yourself down the right path. I know so many people who have just job hopped, you know, and went from one thing to another, thinking the grass was greener, you know, on another side. And I always tell them, stop, you know, before you get another job and figure out what it is you're looking for. Because if you get to the next job and you're looking for something that's going to make you quote unquote happy, or, you know, you're looking for a specific type of environment, it might not necessarily be there. So you need to understand what your values are, and those things will carry you through when you may not find something about a specific job that you like. So I completely agree.
Yeah. Yeah, totally, totally agree with knowing yourself, knowing the things that you love. And I love the way Taiwana went into like trying to figure out, am I that person that love to do technical work, or do I love to do people work? And I love what you said about knowing your values, and just really knowing yourself is going to be that first step that's going to help you to be really successful when it comes to your career, whether it's your current career or your next level career. And I usually go into I call it understanding your core, which starts with understanding that core role. And in order to do that, then you need to know the skills that really make you stand out even now at work. So even if you haven't spent years of working, you have an idea, what are some of the things that you do that really make you stand out? What are some of the things that really light you up when you do that? And for people who have spent some time to develop skills, you know the ones that you either spend the time to develop that really made that impact, or you know the things that you're curious about that you may want to spend some time to develop, like Taiwana said. So going in and asking yourself these questions will help you to identify that role that you're seeking. And then this whole piece about knowing your core values, that's going to help you with what I'm going to talk about when it comes to researching your next level role or your next step when it comes to your role. Because understanding your core values, what are the things that are important to you? What are the things that are non-negotiable when in your job is going to be important? And there's an exercise that I do with do career coaching with medical lab professional, and I help them to understand their core values, because a lot of times the things we think that are important to us may not be those real core values. And I also have an episode that you can go back and listen to, how to identify those core values, because that's going to be very important when it comes to your non-negotiables when you're doing research for your next level career. So Taiwana spoke about having a blueprint. So I think in order to come up with that blueprint or that plan, is first to identify your core role, understand your vision, your core vision, like, where do I want to be? Where do I see myself? And a lot of times when you're looking at that next job, it's not just where do I see myself financially or where do I see myself professionally, but you think about your personal life and your family life and put all of that together in coming up with a vision. And there's also an episode that I did when it comes to actually doing a core vision for yourself. So it's good to have that clear vision about where you want to be. And then the next thing is understanding yourself. What are the things that I do well in? What environment I do well in? What environment that I don't do well in? What are the areas in which I excel? Then you can put that down as part of a blueprint before you do your research. So basically, you could just write down things like what is the role after you decide what role you think you want? What's my why? Why is that important? What are my core values? What are my non-negotiables? And then you start thinking about, okay, with that, what are the companies that I'd want to work with that will align with these? And who are the individuals that I would need to set up meetings with in order to get there? And I want to talk about capabilities. But what are the capabilities that I would need to achieve or need to accomplish in order to do well in these core roles. So before you do any type of research, be clear on those, write those down. And one thing I just want to tell you, a lot of people think that there's so much that you need to get and do when it comes to capability. But if you figure out what you have already accomplished, you'll realize that many times it's not a lot of more degrees that you need. You don't need a lot more things because many times you would have already accomplished it. So once you know that, then you start doing research. So you do research on companies that align with your core values that may have the role that you're looking for and may fit into your vision and the your personality. So it's one way to do that is to go on LinkedIn and just start and research different companies. Read about the companies. What is it in their mission statement or their vision statement that may align with the values that you have? You start looking at and researching the kind of environment for those companies. Is it fast-paced? Is it smaller community hospitals? Is it something that fits within your core values, your core vision of yourself, and just your core self in terms of your personality? And also start reaching out to people. And I know that Stephanie will talk more about that. But doing your research, make sure that it's aligning with who you are. And so that's why it's important to come up with a blueprint where you're actually writing down who you are as a person, what are the capabilities that you need to achieve, what are the capabilities that you already have. And a lot of times you'll find that you already have a lot of these capabilities, but then there are a few capabilities you may need to develop. You just set some timeline for those and then make sure your vision is clear. And then you start reaching out to people. And I think Stephanie will go into some of those, you know, how do you connect with people and different networking, but make sure that you have a blueprint, you know what your core role is, and then you're aligning that with the company or the kind of environment that you'd want to work in order to be successful. And that's how you're successful, because you're aligning your skills with, you're actually making sure you're a great match. And do you have any, Stephanie or Tawana, anything to add to that?
Yeah, the only thing that I would add to that is really looking at, you know, once you do identify what those roles might be, is finding what the job responsibilities might be. And like you talked about, the work environment and the qualifications of each option. And I agree, LinkedIn is a great source to get started with. So listener audience, if you are not on LinkedIn, get on LinkedIn. It's a valuable tool for you. And then determine if they actually want experience, thinking about that hands-on experience or maybe volunteer opportunities. Sometimes there's an option to shadow or volunteer internships. It could be a part-time job. And so those are things too to think about as well, is, you know, how can you get the experience that might be necessary?
I agree. And today, you know, this entire podcast, and hopefully people are have their pens out and their notepads and they're writing some of these down, because we're talking about how you can understand early in your career what you want to do in the laboratory medicine field and where you want to be. There are so many other options besides, you know, working at the bench. We know in the laboratory medicine field, there's a lot of aspects that need to be covered for all of us to be able to take care of our patients, whether it's working in the vendor industry, the device industry, or in the clinical lab. There's a lot of fields to choose from. So you want to make sure you explore all of those fully before making a decision. I would say don't rush, because getting to your end goal may take a degree, it may take a certification, it may take a level of training, and all of those things come with time and money. And so you don't want to rush into making a decision. Really explore, like Taiwana and Lona said, what is central to you, what you like and what you don't like, so you can set yourself on the path to be more efficient with your time, with your money, with your energy as you're making a decision. A couple of things I would add is if you're currently in a job, if you're currently working in the clinical laboratory and you just say, you know what, I just feel like there's more I could be doing. I feel like I want to learn more. I feel like I want to widen my scope. You know, spend some time assessing what you like and what you don't like about your current situation. So if you dislike your current job, figure out why before you try to jump into another job. Is it due to the work itself? You know, if I'm working in micro and I just, you know, one thing about micro, I just could not do sputum. I just could do everything else but the sputum. And that just, I knew myself. And so figure out, you know, is it the job itself or is it something about the job task or is it something about the workplace? Such as a poor manager or lack of growth opportunities or just a poor organizational structure, because you want to make sure that you are looking for the adverse of those things in your next job and your position. So if you say, I love being a microbiologist, but I just don't feel like there's enough growth in my lab, then now you know you're looking for another lab that has career growth opportunities for you. But if it's being a microbiologist itself, then you know you're looking for something different in a different career field. Conversely, if you like what you do, but you just find your environment or outside situations to be limiting to you, then you might want to set your goal on finding a new position that gives you the room to grow. So this is just an excellent time in anybody's career. It's a very exciting time to reflect on where you see yourself in the future in a few years from a career standpoint. And really talk to yourself. Like Taiwana said, inventory your skills, review your work, your volunteerism, your extracurricular things that you were doing, things that you've done in the past, and what energized you, what brought you joy, what made you feel best, and then really develop those skills for yourself. We talked about network, and I definitely agree. Be where others are, whether that's on LinkedIn, whether that's on Twitter. The wider network you have, the more people you can reach out to for ideas, for advice, for guidance. You know, you don't have to do all of this alone. And sometimes your network can be your best asset. It can be another source of capital. We've done another episode on that early in season one on social capital and the importance of having a strong network. And so one of the best ways to learn about different careers is to talk to people in those jobs. And that's some career advice I got early in my position from someone I reported to. And she told me, if you want a job, you know, if you want to be the CEO or the COO or a vice president, look at a person currently in that job and look at their life and look at their job that they're doing. And do you want that? You know, are they do they have good work-life balance? Are they spending time at home on vacation with their kids? And is there a balance or are they working, you know, 7 days a week, you know, 120 hours a pay period? And if that's what you want to do, if you feel like I'm a workaholic for lab medicine, then go for it. But if you feel like, okay, I'm looking at somebody who is currently doing that job and it really doesn't seem like it meshes well with, like Lona said, my core values, then assess that. As you build your network, you know, a great place to also look is through professional websites or professional organizations like ASCLS or ASCP. They have good mentorship programs where you can connect with other people who are currently in positions that you may want to go into. And you can ask those people once you get a mentor about their job and what they like about their job and what they don't like about their job, and maybe ask them to reflect on their career journey and how they got there. So you can get some good insight on that. And then lastly, I'd say once you've decided on what you want to do, you want to set both short-term and long-term goals for yourself. And we've talked about this before in other episodes, and we'll link those in the show notes about SMART goals, you know, those that are specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. So when you set little goals for yourself, you want to make sure they're specific, well-defined, clear, that you understand why you want to achieve that goal. You know, am I working night shift and I want to get on day shift before my kids, you know, go to school so I can spend more time with my family? Do I want to achieve this goal so I can be more financially sound and set and make more money? Why am I looking to change my career? And your why is going to really help determine the rest of your goal. Make sure it's measurable and achievable. You know, if I'm an MLT and I want to get my CLS, you know, I don't want to set a goal to get that done in 1 year unless you find a program where you can get that done in 1 year. But you want to say, do I have the resources and the capabilities to do this goal? And if I don't, what's missing? And help fill in those gaps so you can be successful. You also want to be realistic and give yourself a target timeline. You know, challenge yourself, you know, put some pressure on yourself so you can get these things done. There's a lot of information on the internet about setting and understanding SMART goals. So you can do that for yourself. But when it comes to making a goal, the most important thing is clarity. And I think if our listeners can get anything from this episode, the best way to determine what you want to do with your career and set goals and set a career path for yourself that is achievable is having clarity for yourself and helping understand what you want to do. Because focusing your efforts increases your odds of achieving anything. I think we've given everybody some really good nuggets. You know, do you guys have anything you want to add to that?
Well, I thought you did a really good job with that. I recently read a book by Carla Harris, and it's called Strategize to Win. And she talks about a lot of these points that we talked about, doing your research, making sure that you talk with people and interview people. I think that was great advice that your mentor gave you, Stephanie, of asking people what they do in the job, what they like about it. The only thing that I would add to that is don't get bogged down with the title of the role. And I'm saying that because sometimes titles at one organization could be equivalent to a different title at another organization. So making sure you understand the duties of that particular role, if that's something that you're interested in. So I think about technical specialists versus directors or section directors. Sometimes, depending on your organization, it could be called something different. But really asking people about, you know, the requirements of the job, what has been helpful or what would have been helpful if they had known X, Y, or Z prior to getting in that role. And so I think that's important to interview people because they could tell you what they do, but if they're working 70 hours a week, 80 hours a week, that might change your perspective of if that's a career field that's of interest to you or of interest to you at this time in your life. So that's all I would add.
Yes. And what I'd like to add is I know a lot of times we spend so much time in preparation. And we get stuck on just preparing to prepare. And so we spend a lot of time getting the degrees and all the other things. And then you probably look at someone who is in a role that don't have those degrees. So what I encourage you to do is don't be courageous. Don't be afraid to try to apply for a job that you're interested in, especially if you're passionate about it. Go ahead and do it, because many of these roles can be done without the degree. You know, there may be a requirement there for this master's in this and that, but if you're really great at it and passionate about it, more than likely you'll do a great job. So just know who you are, understand yourself, understand your values, and know what you're great at, and just go and do it.
And I would say, finally, don't get caught up on the verticality of our profession, you know, and feel like because I work on the bench, I have to be a supervisor. And after I'm a supervisor, I have to be a manager. I have to be a director. There are so many other titles and job roles and possibilities. I was talking to a colleague the other day, and she said she worked at a particular organization in the test development and innovation department. And, you know, as many years as I've been in laboratory medicine, that was a department that was new to me, you know, and so don't get stuck on, oh, I have to have, you know, a specific title or I have to oversee people, because there's so many other things you can do with your background and your degree that don't force you to oversee people if that's not your passion. You know, like I said before, find out what you enjoy. And so if it's teaching, if it's molding, if it's mentoring, if it's, you know, going out and gathering others to help advocate for our profession, you know, you don't have to be a supervisor. You don't have to oversee people. You don't have to just be one thing or another. There are so many other things out there that you can be. So we hope that we helped you. We hope that we gave everybody who is thinking about making a change in their career, broadening their scope, taking a leap in their laboratory profession journey, some more to think about. So thank you for listening and tuning in to our show today. Be sure to share this with a colleague, whether they're in the laboratory or not. Be sure to comment. We'd love to hear some of the things that you're doing, some of the jobs that you're taking, some of the ways that you are taking the steps in your career to have a great future. If you like what you heard today and you want to listen to our previous episodes, make sure you subscribe to our show on directimpactbroadcasting.com or on your favorite podcast platform or on LabVine's LabStream. We're on LabVine right now, and we're excited to be partnering with them to also share our podcast platform. As always, tune in next week to hear another amazing episode of the Elaborate Topics podcast. And until then, have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.